It's Thursday, 4th of January, 2018. This is the Grincast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cello.
Ciao.
And Catty.
Hello.
With Alex stepping back and Cal running late, it fell to me to take the reins, at least until Cal gets back from wherever he's been today. My guess, he's at the bank getting a loan due to overspending in the Steam Winter Sale. How was the holiday season for you guys?
Pretty good.
Well, I barely remember any of it, so I can only assume it was good.
It's pretty good. I travelled a little bit.
It was either very good or very bad.
Either way, there were a lot of empty bottles, so...
I didn't know Rehypnol came in a bottle.
It does when you mass order.
We're not even 2 minutes in and we're going down a dark path.
Good start to 2018, guys.
It's good to be back. Right, well, let's start off with what have you been playing over the holiday period and what did you think about it? Starting in alphabetical order, Cello.
I've been replaying Arcanite. I finished it and then immediately started... Well, like, I finished it before going into holidays, and then I traveled, came back, and immediately started New Game Plus. And so I've been playing that. And a little bit of Total War Warhammer. That's pretty much... But I haven't had a lot of time to play this week, like, just trying to catch up, you know, to work at work after the holiday, so it's kind of crazy.
Did you get all the Riddler trophies?
Almost. That's part of the reason why I'm playing a New Game Plus, because I don't have the patience to go back and pick up all of them again. So I'm just like doing New Game Plus because it saves your progress. So now I'm already 75% up, so I guess a couple of days to have all of them.
I'd heard that the ending was different if you got all the Riddler trophies, so I made sure to get all of those before I finished it the first time.
Yeah, I finish like when you beat the main story and before you complete the side ones, the game tells you like, oh, capture this number of criminals to unlock the Nightfall Protocol, and then I capture most of them except Riddler, and activated the protocol, and then it happened, and then immediately after the game reloaded and it was like, capture 100% to unlock the full Nightfall Protocol, and I was like, Yeah, now I need to activate only part of it, apparently.
And Katty, what have you been playing?
I finally got around to finishing Life is Strange Before the Storm. I think it was a very suitable conclusion to Life is Strange as a story. Because obviously they're making Life is Strange 2, it's going on to different characters. So Life is Strange Before the Storm kind of comes in and tells the story of how Chloe became Chloe. And I think it did it really well. There is one more sort of semi-episode coming out that's supposed to be involve Max. That's supposed to come out sometime this month, but the main meat of the game's finished now. And I thought it was really good. I kind of wish that of... released everything a little bit earlier so I could have defended it for the Game of the Year podcasts. I also played some Bridge Constructor Portal. That came out during Game of the Year and I don't think we talked about it, but that game's really fun. It's Bridge Constructor with portals, and GLaDOS comes around occasionally and tells you you're doing everything wrong, so that gives you nice vibes.
You're playing on PC or mobile?
On PC. I haven't actually got too far through it. I'm only a couple hours in. I don't know how much there is of it.
Is there cake?
There is cake in one of the... So I've sort of gone away and come back to it a few times. And in one of... There's sort of different opening cutscenes. At least I think they're different. I seem to remember them being different.
Different.
One of them involved cake.
On the monitor.
Yeah. And I played something else, and I can't remember the name of it. So you'll have to bear... Dungeon of the Endless. Me and my friend played quite a lot of Dungeon of the Endless over the holiday, and that game is very fun. It's sort of a weird mix of turn-based Metroid. Turn-based and Castlevania, even. So you sort of go into different rooms... But you don't control the character when they're in the room, you just control where they go. And you kind of have to micromanage them to stop them from dying, because it's very easy to die in that game.
Do you find yourself dying endlessly?
Ah.
Yes, yes, actually, we did.
And it lives up to its name.
Well, yeah, it kind of does, because the dungeons are distinctly end. They have an ending. It's just you'll never get there, because the game is too hard.
Personally, I've finished Splinter Cell Blacklist, so I spent many hours throughout 2017 playing all of the Splinter Cell games. Unless they... This unannounced IP that they've delayed is going to be a Splinter Cell title, we can but hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best Splinter Cell for me, but I did enjoy it.
It's worse than Conviction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Conviction's so good.
I think the first three games are like a James Bond movie, the next three are like a Jason Bourne movie, and Blacklist is like 24.
Oh no, come on, 24 is good.
I didn't say that 24 is bad. It's just there's an ensemble cast, and there's lots of plot threads going here and there, and there's a team involved.
Fair enough.
With the rest of the games, he was fairly lone wolfing it.
Which one was your favourite?
Chaos Theory, hands down. Apart from that, I finally got around to playing Goat Simulator to see what all the fuss is about, and it's very funny.
Only like 2 years too late.
Yeah, blah blah blah. I waited for them to patch all the problems.
Wasn't that half the fun of the game?
Yes. I got back into Elite Dangerous for a week or so, because they were running a community goal where you had to deliver so many hundreds of thousands of units of cargo to this one station, or do bounty hunter vouchers. And if either of the community goals were successful, they knocked 20% off of the price of three of these specific ships. And I took part in the community goal. One of them was successful, so the 20% discount hits, and I bought three ships, and I haven't played the game since. I just like a bargain.
Fair enough.
And finally, Heat Signature. Puce was playing this before we did the Game of the Year podcasts. It's basically a top-down gunpoint set in space. You're basically a mercenary. You have to take missions to assassinate, rescue, steal something, then fly your little shuttle over to these other spaceships, break in, kill people, or avoid killing them, or avoid being spotted to complete your objective.
It's
quite addictive.
It's from the same person who made Gunpoint, isn't it?
Yes. There's this one type of mission where you have to kill the pilot of the ship, get in the pilot seat, and then set a course to crash it into a space station. And once you've set the course, you have to escape the ship. You can do that via the airlock, or my preferred way is shooting out the nearest window, which will suck you out into the vacuum, and then you have to remote pilot your shuttle over and catch you before you run out of oxygen.
I can't remember whose video I was watching, but I saw someone, they accidentally blew up part of the ship. They flew out of one thing and then flew straight into the other side of the ship.
Yes, that's also possible. There's a couple of weapons that do that, or if you shoot the wrong thing, it will explode part of the ship. Once you've taken care of the crew, you can pilot the ship back to a base, so and set it on autopilot so you don't have to fly there yourself. I got aboard one ship, got into a bit of a fight. There was an explosion. I found myself in space. I quickly remote piloted my shuttle, snatched me in space, went and docked back at this ship. I couldn't see where the damage was until I cleared the ship, and then tried to get in the pilot seat to autopilot it home, and it said that thrusters had been blown up. And then I realized, oh wait, that wasn't an airlock I docked at. That was just an open force field into space.
I think that's something. I'm sure his name's. I'm gonna say his name's Tom, but I don't know that for sure. But he, in Gunpoint, there's a lot of stuff like that where it's like just emergent gameplay where none of this is really intended, but just you playing the game just gives you these weird sort of outcomes.
Yeah, I really liked Gunplay. Gunpoint, and I played a couple of hours of its signature. And while I agree they are good, I really like Gunpoint. I really think they are good games. I never had the experience other people claim to have. Like I did all of that. Like I shoot the stuff, and you know the ship exploded in half, and then I shot people out of a window, and I did like some the fun stuff. But they never felt as emergent as like I don't know, like Metal Gear, you know, like when you're sneaking, holding an empty ammo case in your hand, and then someone spots you, and you like by reflex throw it at their head, and you just hear a clank, and the person falls down. That kind of like interplay of systems I never had in Hit Signature, so it just felt a little bit flat to me. Like I didn't thought it was as good as other people said. I don't know why. I think it just never clicked for me.
You saying that's just reminded me of something I did in Splinter Cell Conviction. I picked up a wine bottle, and I was going to throw it past a guard's shoulder to distract him. It hit him in the head and knocked him out. I thought, oh, well, fair enough.
Guy's name's Tom Francis. I knew it was Tom.
Yeah, he was an editor of PC Gamer way, way, way back. Then he left to make games.
Well, his website has three blog posts, all from 2012. Interestingly, the first one, January 21st, is Suspicious Developments Headquarters Broken Into. The next one is the announcing of the existence of Suspicious Development 3 days later. So their offices were broken into before they existed.
Well, I've got that beat. I have like five blog posts from 2011 on my blog.
Acelister.com.
No, that domain lapsed in 2004. No, it's a Blogspot blog.
I just went to Acelister.com hoping for porn, but there was nothing.
There was porn for a time, but it seems they realised I didn't want the domain name back.
That's a shame.
Well, now that I'm not going to get charged through the nose for it, I might look into that again. Right, some news that's happened since, recently. Can't say since our last proper podcast, because I can't remember what happened throughout the rest of December. There's been an interview with Blue Hole Games. Wait, is it Blue Hole Games? People who make PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
PUBG Corporation, I think.
That'll be them.
Yeah, that's what they've called themselves, because Blue Hole were like, we want to make other things.
And people seem to be latching onto the news that they want to make PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds the movie or the TV show.
This may sound really stupid, but I think they've got a great idea here, but they're going about it all wrong. They don't want to make a full-length like feature film. They want to create a competition for people to make their own films out of the new feature they've put into PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, which is the spectator cam, where you can basically record your game, and then it records like a mile around you in-game. So you can do all of these really awesome like long-distance shots of you like sneaking up on people, people sneaking up on you. You can create a kind of completely silent, almost like completely wordless at least, film of just kind of all of the tense moments of PUBG, all nicely edited and shot. And I think that if they actually did that and sort of encouraged the creativity, they'd make a better movie than if they got a proper Hollywood studio to do it, because what are you going to do story-wise for PUBG that isn't The Hunger Games?
No, I reckon they could just make a movie and call it Battle Royale. How's that for a title?
Isn't there like 3 movies within there?
Shh, nobody knows. But yes there are. I've had a look at the interview myself, and they want to either a movie, TV show, or maybe some comics. But my question is, what's the story of PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds?
See, comics I could kind of understand, because then you could kind of have, like, the adventures of a group of people who, like, they're effectively players of PUBG, but it's like you just follow a group in a round. And that could be just an arc of comic, and then the round's over and you just start again and do a different... And kind of... Because a lot of PUBG success has come from the fact that people can tell you stories about these fantastic rounds they've had, where they, oh, we did this, and then we did this, and then we did this. And I kind of think that if they capitalize on that, then that could be really interesting. If they try and make this a love story, or try and shoehorn in a reason for 100 people to be dropped on an island, then they're barking up the wrong tree, because no one wants that.
Yeah, I agree that they should like start on the island in the middle of a round and tell stories of a set group as they gradually turn on each other. There have been comics of Battlegrounds style situations before. There was a manga version of the Battle Royale, the Japanese Battle Royale movie. More recently there was Avengers Arena, which was when Marvel were just sticking the name Avengers on everything because of the movie. But the story itself was pretty good. It was some of the teenage superheroes and supervillains from Marvel pitting a fight to the death by Arcade, the X-Men villain.
Didn't DC have an event in the last few years where they just kind of went, okay, we've taken everyone from the world and put them on this battle arena and everyone has to fight?
That's true. That was Convergence. They weren't really pit against each other until Brainiac decided, oh, well, we're just going to wipe everyone out, because they were all domed in to their own set areas, like the 70s or the 80s, or that time when Superman had a mullet.
Full disclosure, I did not read this comic.
I did. The quality wasn't great. The whole reason they published it when they did is because DC were moving offices from New York to Los Angeles or San Francisco or something. So the editors were away and the sub-editors arranged it all. So the normal comics weren't published that month, just these Convergence tie-ins. But if nothing else, it got us original Superman back instead of the new 52 Pratt.
You mean the one who doesn't love Diana?
Yes.
We're going on a tangent here.
We were talking about Battle Royale comics.
Yeah.
To be fair, is there much else in this story?
Yeah.
We've got more out of it than a movie will be able to. Right, our next big news story, IGN have fired their editor-in-chief over misconduct allegations.
Cares, no kidding. I was surprised by that, like, until you mentioned it, like, on the briefing before the podcast, I hadn't heard about that, but it would make much more waves than it did.
I remember a little while ago, I don't want to put a date on it because I don't remember when, but there was a pretty big IGN sort of strike where a lot of the staff went on strike, naturally, and no one like they weren't allowed to say why for whatever reason, and it seems to be that it was probably about this. That's the theory I've heard, at least.
Well, I can imagine that they were asked not to reveal why because the investigation was ongoing. But yes, Steve Butts has been sacked.
Sorry,
yes.
He has the best name for this. He could not have had an almost better name.
Steve the Butts. But yes, it's all come about because of the hashtag MeToo trying to think of the correct term. The movement, that's it. The hashtag MeToo movement that's come on the back of the Hollywood's sexual misconduct. Former IGN employee Kaylee Plagey, sorry if I'm butchering your name, went public about her time working at IGN, which included allegations that fellow former editor Vince, former editor Vince had sexually harassed her in the workplace. And then after that, more people began voicing concerns about Steve Butts. So, sexual misconduct is everywhere. Literally.
Kind of disgusting, isn't it? Like, it's one of those things. It's like washing your hands after going to the bathroom. I'm pretty sure everybody knows you should do that, but every time I go to a public bathroom, I'm always appalled by the amount of people who just walk out. And that's the same thing, like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't rape people. You shouldn't touch people if they don't want to be touched. It's such a basic understanding of mankind, and people still fuck that up somehow. Pretty sure they know what they're...
You heard it here first.
Sorry, go on.
You heard it here first. Cello says, rape is like not washing your hands.
I was honestly going to try to make the joke that he was comparing a thing you shouldn't do to a thing you should do on things. So you've got that the wrong way around. But there we go.
What?
We were saying it's like washing hands. You know, everyone should do. So I was going to say everyone should sexually harass people.
Wow, you're completely butchering my words. Now I know what those representatives feel like. You have a perfect, valid message, like completely innocent, and then somebody comes and goes, nope.
Fake news.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if those people actually know what they're doing. Like, it's... I don't know. I remember the editor guy from IGN when he, like, replied to those allegations last month. He was kind of like... Oh, I was being friendly, and you know, like what I did was like hug her because I do that with all my friends, and blah blah blah. And I kind of go, I don't believe that. Like, even if he didn't, you know, like manhandled her, even if he didn't, like, you know, took a handful or something, even if he didn't do that, I'm pretty sure he, you know, he wasn't being friendly and helpful. Like, he knew that hugging someone that you work with, that you have absolutely no personal or intimate contact with, is something acceptable. It is a little bit creepy. It's kind of like she's, you know, I don't know if she's hot because I never saw a picture, but I can't imagine he looked at her and was like, oh, she's a woman, she's hot, so I'm gonna hug her, pretend to be friendly, but actually just want to, you know, get close. That is a little bit disturbing, I think.
Yeah, I've never understood it either. Right, we move from sexual misconduct to looking ahead at video gaming in 2018.
That's, how much we're going to get fucked this year.
How many games are EA releasing this year?
Well, I mean, I think there's like three in the first 2 months, so...
Well, some games I'm looking forward to, Spider-Man, hashtag Spider-Man or bust.
I'd look forward to that if I had a PS4. I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a console seller. But that's we don't even have a firm release date for that yet. In a couple of weeks, we're getting Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory, which is a pseudo prequel to Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth from last year. I really enjoyed the first one, so I'm quite looking forward to this one.
In February, we're getting the Civ 6 expansion. Looking forward to that, because every Civ game gets better with the expansions, and this one looks pretty good.
That's true.
I don't really know what's going to be in it, but people seem excited, and have no reason to not be.
I'm excited about Anno 1800. I quite like Anno games, they are peaceful. They're really relaxing. I even like the sci-fi ones. Sci-fi ones were...
From what I've heard, they seem a bit hit and miss. People either really like them or are really ambivalent about them.
Yeah, like, it's from some perspectives, it can be, like, pretty dull. The last one they released, that you have, like, Earth with, like, different areas, and then you can build something on the moon, and you change around and send stuff between those areas. The game has absolutely no challenge, like, zero challenge. Basically, like, you build a house and you build the resources people need, and then when you have more people than resources, you build more resources. And then, so just keep doing that. Like, it's not like you run out of resources at any point. They're all infinite. So the main resource, which is like money, you get at a very steady rate, and everything else you just build stuff that builds it. So it's kind of okay. It's more like a It's a very relaxing game because the fun of it comes in designing the city. You have to. It's a very pretty map, like a very big map, full of like canyons and water and all that. And the challenge, so to speak, in the game comes from you positioning those stuff. So like, you know, water plants near the water and blah blah blah, and wind farms in areas with a lot of wind. And that's very relaxing because you're pretty much free to build your city however the hell you wanted to. So I really had...
So it's along the lines of SimCity?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. Like, SimCity can be a little bit harsh sometimes. Like, for example, City Skylines is a pain in the ass. It's very easy for you to get into a point that things just snowball. And something goes wrong, and then that fucks up your income, and without income you don't have the police, and without the police you have crime, and with crime you have fire, and with fire you have dirt, and with dirt you have, like, no garbage, and when you realize your whole city sank in, like, 5 minutes. That is very easy to happen. In Anno, that never, ever happens. You're never gonna fail a game, I think. So it is kind of like SimCity in the sense that it's very relaxing and the focus is on building stuff, but it's not in SimCity in the fact that it's not really a game if you want challenge. It's not a game for challenge. It's a game like you got home from work, you're tired, you just want to see like a pretty vista and build shit. Then you can sit there and like just listen to that soothing music and play the game for like 5 hours, just building shit and relaxing and, you know, talking to someone on the phone. It's a very relaxing game. That's what I liked about it. It's not normal nowadays. Games nowadays are all about, like, you know, yeah, do this and do that, and excitement and adrenaline. That game is just so chill. It doesn't elicit any emotional response from you. It just wants you to be zen and relax. So I really like that. I like the style of gameplay.
So it doesn't make you cry?
No, it doesn't make you cry.
So it will never be Game of the Year.
A Way Out, which is the guy who made Brothers Tale of Two Sons, his Prison Break game, where it's always co-op, you can always see what the other person's doing. They can be in a cutscene while you're robbing the person in the cutscene blind, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's an EA title, isn't it?
Yeah. The guy basically said fuck EA at the Game Awards, so I'm relatively confident that they've not messed with him too much.
So I can't pay £3 for a golden shiv?
I don't think so. I mean, you might be able to pay £3 for a, like, prison lunchbox that could have the possibility of having that golden shiv in it.
Another game I'm looking forward to is Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Oh, yeah.
That's been in development literally since I started working for Game Grin, so I've been following its progress since Kickstarter. It's just grown and grown. They want it
Are you liking
300.
what you saw?
It looks really interesting. It's basically Skyrim, but with no magic and dragons, just realistic. And you can be a. Sorry, I heard a bleep.
I'm having a phone call, sorry.
You can be a blacksmith or an adventurer or whatever you want to be. The Kickstarter wanted £300,000 and they got over 1 million.
Yeah, this must be one of the last big Kickstarter games from that sort of that sort of time when Kickstarter games got just so much money. We've had like Mighty No. 9 and Yooka-Laylee and another one that is slipping my mind right now that was a big Kickstarter game.
Yeah, it's definitely yeah, it's from around the area. Yeah, that oh my God, you got me doing that era.
I didn't heard a lot about Kingdom Deliverance before I got the chance to play it, but after I did, I was very impressed with it. Holy f I was very impressed with it. It was but like Andrew said, it feels very Skyrim.
I'm sort of, I don't actually know a lot about this game, but it looks like they've gone very much down the realism route. Like the clothing will get progressively more worn, dirty, or bloody through use, affecting the character's appearance. I really like the idea of just being like just completely caked in mud, dirt, and blood, and just going to a king or something somewhere and going, "Do you have any work for me?" And just him just kicking you right out because you look like a peasant.
Sorry, back.
Yeah, they've been designing castles with actual architects, and it's set in ancient Czech Republic, the ancient Czech Republic. So it's they've had historians and stuff involved.
Yeah, they have a very interesting thing, which is the combat. Like, when you have to make a choice if you're gonna wear an armor or a normal, a lightly armor stuff. So you can use like a padded jacket that is gonna resist, like swords and stuff, or you can wear an armor. But like the more armor you wear, the heavier you get, and you can jump and stuff like that because of you can jump with, like 90 pounds of armor. And the fun thing is when you use a helmet, like if you don't want just like one of those normal helmets, but you want like a proper full plate armor thing that closes your head, when you pull out your sword and you lower the helmet's visor, it lowers in front of the screen, so you lose like all peripheral vision. You only see like a little slit in front of you and the enemy. So that makes things like
That's
it
fantastic.
makes things really hard to hit. It's ridiculous, but it gives you like a shitload of health and resilience and all that. The only thing I didn't like very much was the arrows, the bow and arrow, because they don't have a crosshair, which is okay. So you kind of have to learn how to shoot. You actually need to learn how to the range and the drop and all that. But the problem is that your character is not a video game character. It's meant to be realistic, so it has a certain swag when you're aiming. And when you take damage, you have even more swag. So it comes to a point that you're trying to hit like an archer 10 meters away, and you just can't do it because you're aiming at the guy, and like your hand is already like swinging wildly, almost as if you were drunk. And then the guy throws an arrow near you, and your guy panics and goes, "Ugh!" And then you may aim up and you throw the. So it's a little bit annoying, but it's very, very, very nice. But as I was saying before, it feels very Skyrim, which is something it's not very normal to get. Like it's a beautiful and relaxing environment when you're walking around and you're like hearing the music, and the simple act of walking first person, it's idyllic even. So you just feel really immersed in the world in a way that only Bethesda games usually do. Like, how you can feel immersed just simply walking around Skyrim or Fallout. You just feel immersed into the world. That thing they did, Kingdom Come Deliverance managed to do the same thing, and that really, really impressed me. I wasn't expecting that.
This game sounds amazing, but it also sounds like a game I will absolutely never play because it's just too big.
Yeah.
I will get bored of it so quick. I've still not finished The Witcher. I've not finished Skyrim. I've not finished a single Fallout game. I've finished Fallout 1 and 2, but slightly different. But I just get so bored of these big open world games so quickly. Even if they've got something interesting that I want to keep coming back to, even I'll get bored of that still. I don't never see a thing to come back to.
Speaking of open worlds, Far Cry 5.
Oh.
In March. It was delayed by a couple of weeks for polishing and probably to remove microtransactions.
Completely forgot about that game. I don't know if I...
Yeah, it's set in North America and you're fighting some racists, so that'll be interesting.
I don't know. I kind of got the impression from the trailers it just fell in the same rabbit hole that Assassin's Creed did before Origins. They just... Ubisoft has that problem. Like, they create a franchise and then it is pretty cool and amazing and people know what they're doing. And then they start to change the teams and change the project leads because they have a very progressive industry culture. They keep promoting people, which is a very good thing. But that means they keep changing leads with every game. And with leads, they change the studio and the team. And when that happens, you get like people who don't always know what the game is about. So like Far Cry 3 was based on Far Cry 2, but with a different story. But it was the same idea, like the same principles of Far Cry 2 happened in Far Cry 3. And then Far Cry 4 completely lost that. It just went like a meaningless story that more got more in the way than helped. And Far Cry 5 is kind of in the same way. Like, it just feels like an excuse to shoot people. It no longer has like a purpose for the game. Like, the third one had a purpose, it had an idea behind it. Like, okay, it was a stupid idea, like magic tattoo gives you power, but still was an idea. The whole game was around the strong villains and the tattoo giving you power and the journey of the guy, like, learning to be, you know, a man. Growing up from a playboy to someone who, you know, can hold his own and eventually do a lot of drugs. But Far Cry 4 didn't have that. Like, they tried to make something important with, like, oh, the rebellion in Nepal or something. And it just didn't. It just became an excuse to shoot people. The story didn't hold together as the game progressed. And Far Cry 5 is the same way. Like, every single preview that you hear and everything, all the videos they show and all that, they don't have that. They're just, it's like a recipe being made by someone that doesn't know how to cook. You have a villain, you have a different environment, you have weapons, but those things are not interconnected. They're just there because that's something the team thinks should be there. So I'm not expecting very much from the game. It's probably going to be fun, but it's not going to be anything special.
That's fair.
It's going to be a Ubisoft game.
That's true. You're going to have to unlock areas of the map, and it's in a section of a country where you'll have water and mountains and probably a volcano of some description.
Probably a lot of grump jokes.
To be fair, at least it will make sense as to why so many people have guns and assault weapons at that.
Because it's set in North America.
Yeah.
But you can buy a machine gun in America. Assault rifle.
I mean, tell that to all the people who own assault weapons in America.
Yeah. No, the assault rifles you can buy are never automatic. They are single flat fire. Or semi-auto.
But they can be modified.
Yeah, they can. Wait.
Legally.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to games.
Ooh, what are games?
Metro Exodus. This year I'm going to be playing the Metro Redux series for a diary series, because I've finished Splinter Cell now. So I'm looking forward to Metro Exodus.
I really enjoyed the two Metro games, so I'm really looking forward to Exodus. Though I'm intrigued as to where they're going to go with the story. Because as I understand it, this is following on from the books, but the second game doesn't follow the books very closely. As in, it completely does something completely different.
Well, I doubt they're going to go the Saints Row direction of destroying the Earth.
I mean, they might as well. No, wait, because this would be Metro 3, so this would be Saints Row 3, so this is the one where it starts just going a little bit too wacky, and you get superpowers at the end?
No, you don't get superpowers at the end, you get superpowers in a DLC.
Same difference, really.
It was so good.
I liked Saints Row 3.
I like it more than 4, to be fair.
Oh, definitely more than 4. But I think I like 2 more than 3. But I have played 3 a number of times. Oh, this is what I'm looking forward to. The Walking Dead, the final season. Telltale will finally stop putting out Walking Dead games.
I mean, well, you say that, but there is also another Walking Dead game coming out. It's,
By Overkill.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's just called Overkill's Walking Dead, isn't it? Something like that. So that's going to be the start of another franchise in The Walking Dead.
I actually don't think so, because I think Walking Dead is going to die in less than 2 years. So by the time Overkill puts the game out, it's going to be mostly out of the bandwagon already. Like, the series, I still watch the series, I still kind of enjoy it, but you can feel that the, you know, the guys has already passed. Like, they lost a lot of viewers, and, like, people are just getting less and less excited, and the stories are just getting thin, and people who shouldn't die are dying, so it just gets to a point that you kind of go... franchise fatigue.
How are the comics doing, though? I thought they were still really popular.
Comics doesn't matter. Comics, you know, never end. It's like Spider-Man has been on for 60 years or something. It's like the comics will keep going and people still read them because blah 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 is made by the creator and all that. But the series is a different thing. Like, the series is an adaptation and they change.
Yeah,
but all of the games and things are spin-offs of the comics, not the the Telltales are certainly spin-offs of the comics, not the show.
I know, but
well, the Walking Dead only really took off in popularity because of the TV show. So if they cancel or end the TV show, then we're going to see far less Walking Dead related paraphernalia.
I was about to say the same thing. It's kind of like Sandman. It exists for a long time. A lot of people like it, blah, blah, blah. But it's, you know, it's kind of niche in a way. You don't see any Sandman games coming out every year by Activision.
Speaking of franchises that probably should die, Jurassic World Evolution is probably going to be a pretty good game, unfortunately. It's just going to keep spinning the Jurassic Park wheel.
It's a park builder where you have dinosaurs. I mean, it's hard to go wrong.
But it's being made by the people who made Planet Coaster, which is one of the best park building games we've had for a long time. So it's even less likely to go wrong, fingers crossed.
But why should it die?
Fingers
not even a franchise so far.
Jurassic World isn't a Jurassic Park is a franchise.
But the last game we got was in like 2005, I think? Project Genesis?
Oh, I'm not talking about the games. I'm talking about
Lego Jurassic World.
I'm literally talking about Jurassic Park in general.
I like Jurassic Park. I think it's enjoyable.
Just as a whole thing.
I still haven't got around to watching Jurassic World. And isn't Jurassic World 2 due out this year?
Yes.
It's fun. It was a fun movie. It was a blockbuster, so just take your brain out and enjoy. I watched like Star Wars Episode 9 this week, and I was like, this is a pretty fucking good movie. Like, it's a horrible Star Wars, but it's a pretty good movie. I don't know. I guess it depends on how much you can suspend your criticism during a movie. Like, if you watch Transformers with a critical mind, you're gonna hate it. If you watch it like a 8-year-old, you're gonna love it. That's the way I think.
I mean,
if you watch it like an 8-year-old, you're gonna be terrified of Megatron.
No, you're not. Well, you are if you're not a Gryffindor 8-year-old, but...
an 8-year-old in Gryffindor? Yeah.
Yeah, I have no segue for that.
Speaking of Harry Potter, let's end the podcast.
I was going to say, can we talk about System Shock? The reboot that's actually a remake is coming out this year.
I thought they'd already remade it.
No, they remastered it. And now they're completely remaking it from the ground up.
Right, I see that.
And I was reading about it the other day, and I think it's the quote that I remember is they're basically keeping the story and all the levels are the same, they're sort of updating them so that they aren't janky as all shit in a modern engine, which hopefully will mean it's good, because System Shock is a great game, and it'll be good to go back and actually be able to play it again and not get really confused that nothing is the same as any other game you'll ever play.
Well, one of the writers previously worked on Prey and Fallout New Vegas, so...
Chris Avellone, isn't it?
Yeah, amongst many, many others.
Chris Avellone worked on Prey?
Yeah.
Yeah, according to Wiki.
This Prey? Like the Prey 2017?
Yeah, last
really?
Year.
He's worked on lots of things. He was on Fallout New Vegas, The Neverwinter Nights 2... He was the lead designer on Knights of the Old Republic 2. He was writer on Pillars of Eternity and Time Torment, Tides of Numenera. He was assisting writer in Divinity Original Sin 2. Dude gets around.
One game I discovered yesterday, and I'm pretty curious now, is one called Frostpunk. From the same people who made This War of Mine. And it's a city survival title that takes place in a frozen city. So it's not like...
That's in early access at the moment,
I think. Interesting.
No, it's not been released.
Okay. And it looks like very interesting because like heat is the life of the thing. So you need to kind of make sure, you know, heat is on the city is well heated. But you also have like decisions and you have to worry about discontent and people's hope. So actually have like a little bar measuring discontent, hope, and shit like that. And you are tasked with like setting laws and customs and pretty much enforcing them. So basically you have like questions of morality, like will you allow child labor? Or how are you going to treat the sick and wounded? Are you going to like just dispatch them with a shot to the head or treat them up or send them to somewhere else? So I thought it was a very interesting concept, especially because those guys know how to deal with like hard heat and stuff. This War of Mine is a pretty green game. Deals with a pretty, heavy subject matter. So it was.
I don't know. The two examples you listed seem pretty straightforward to me. Just make the children shoot the sick and elderly.
Yeah. With flamethrowers because they create heat for the city. Yeah.
But I did sell slaves in Fallout 3, and I'm not a very good person in video games.
It's a very pragmatic approach.
They were willing to pay me.
On a similar note of sort of city building survival, there's the Surviving Mars, the Paradox
Is that
game.
Coming in 2018?
Spring,
certainly
it says.
Think so.
Yeah, it's a pretty good game. I played it on Gamescom, I think. Yeah, and with the CEO of Haymon Games, which is a lovely guy, by the way. And I was very, very happy with the game. It was very, very pleasant to play. It kind of felt like City Skylines, but on Mars, which is a good thing.
I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
Can you grow potatoes? It's a very important question.
Yeah, you can. You can grow... Like, basically, your guys get, like... since you're on Mars and stuff, you need, like, for example, you need concrete to build shit. So they send, like... you can order a ship to come from Earth with supplies. And your colonies get happier when they receive concrete than when they receive chocolate. Because basically, you know, chocolate is just a food, and concrete means they have new buildings. So they kind of go, "Yay, concrete!"
As a type 1 diabetic, I can this is my jam. This is how I feel. a game that's not on the list of 2018 in video gaming that we're looking at, but I do know is coming out in 2018, the My Hero Academia game, the sequel to the one that was on 3DS that only came out in Japan. That's coming out probably only on PS4, knowing my luck, but that's coming out in 2018. And I've recently got very into My Hero Academia, so I'm very interested in this game.
It's relevant to your interests.
It's exceptionally relevant to my interests. I'm really looking forward to being like a 15-year-old who can smack so hard, he can basically dislodge the planet from its orbit.
Can take smack so
Wait,
hard.
Wait, which game is that?
It's My Hero Academia something weird anime subtitle.
Okay. I'm interested in punching a planet out of orbit.
I don't think that's a thing you can actually do
come
in
on.
The game. But
you have oversold
yes.
this game.
It's a thing that can happen
Make
in the game.
Fake advertising.
Anime.
Don't care anymore.
Fake news.
It's called One's Justice. But it's kind of like a top-down fighting game.
And Total War is a good coming game I'm interested in. I have two coming. No, not two. Yeah. The next like full release they're got coming is Thrones of Britannia, which is basically the Viking invasion of England and the civil wars that followed. Which is an interesting like little focus to have, especially people from Britain should like it a lot.
That's racist. Right, and that's about all we have time for. Okay, well, thanks to our listeners for joining us for this first episode of 2018. And thanks to Cello and Catty for joining me.
For actually turning up.
You can talk to us and follow us on Twitter at Grincast. Alternatively, check out past episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Game Grin site at gamegrin.com. You can also follow Game Grin at Game Grin on Twitter, or find us on Facebook or all around the internet. Just Google for Game Grin. That's it from us, and game on!